This week's parsha, we begin to read about the Makos and all the stories about how they played out. So one of the important midrashim that is mentioned is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to perform all of the Makos, and we are told very famously that he chooses not to perform the first few on his own because he has a sense of gratitude to the land. So Makos Dam, to the water, he doesn't want to hit the water because he doesn't want to show that he is ungrateful to the water for saving him at an earlier point in his life, and to the land as well. Dam Tzfardei Kinim, he doesn't want to be involved in those Makos because of what they had done for him in the past. So this is a very important principle of Hakaras HaTov in general. It's such an important principle that in the Medrash, in the beginning of the Torah, in Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash comments on the Pasuk. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Es HaAretz. So says the Medrash. Bereishis Bara Elokim means, in the beginning of time, God created the world. Says the Medrash, it also means, Bishvil Reishis. The world was created because of Reishis. What exactly is the Reishis that is referred to? So the Medrash has a few opinions. One opinion is, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. The world was worth being created because there was going to come a time when there would be a Jewish people, and that was a good enough reason for the world to have been created. The Medrash says perhaps the world was created because Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis. As we know, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And that's why the world had a good reason to be created, because after all, we were going to have a Torah at some point, and that's enough to sustain the world. Like we know that Rashi says, in Mekablan Es HaTorah Mutav, if you're going to accept the Torah, good. If not, Achzir Es Kol HaOlam Kulo L'Tov Vavo, I'm going to revert back to nothingness, because what point does the world have if not for the Torah? So those I understand. But the Medrash then gives a third opinion. Why is it that it was important that the world be created? Not because of the Torah, not because of the Jewish people, but rather, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikru Reishis, because there was going to be a mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim. And as we know, that is also referred to as Reishis Bikuri Admascha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. Now, this is very surprising, because when you think about the other two examples that the Medrash gave, the other two rationales for why the world was created, it makes sense for the Jewish people, it makes sense for the Torah, but because of the mitzvah of Bikurim, does it say the world should have been created because of Lulav and Esrog or because of Tefillin? What is so unique, what is so special about the mitzvah of Bikurim? And the answer is quite obvious, that the whole crux of the mitzvah Bikurim is for a person to express their sense of gratitude. As we know, we say in the Haggadah from the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim, but these are really Psukim and Sefer Tzvarim. Va'ata, the person has to confess, so to speak. He has to do a Mikra Bikurim, and he says, Hini hevesias reishis pri ha'adama, I brought everything that I have, asher nasata li Hashem. And then he goes on to say, Arami Avidavi, and he goes on to explain how grateful he is for saving not only myself, but my ancestors from all the torture, from all the terrible oppression over all the generations. And then you trickle it down to your personal circumstance, and you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything he has given you in your own life as well. That's what the whole mitzvah Bikurim is all about, and says the Medrash, that was a good enough reason for the world to have been created. Because a person needs to make sure that that's a very central focus in life, to always be careful to concentrate on this idea of being Makir Tov, of having the proper gratitude to people that have done wonderful things for us. As we know, the Ramban, probably one of the most famous Rambans in all of Chumash, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo writes, Kavanas kol ha-mitzvos. If you have to sum it up, says the Ramban, what is the purpose of all the mitzvahs that we perform? So it would be very hard to put that into one sentence, one phrase, and say, this is the kavanas kol ha-mitzvos, this is the purpose of everything that we do. Hard to say what it is, but says the Ramban, shenamin be'elokeinu. Number one, he says, primarily you have to believe in God. That's obviously the first and most important reason for all the mitzvahs. But number two, he says, once you believe in him, no day love shehu baranu, says the Ramban. No less important is, believe in God and thank him for creating you, because that is what we're here for. That's what we're here to do, to find the presence of God in this world and in our lives. V'hi kavanas kol ha-yitzira, says the Ramban. This is the purpose of the entire creation. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira harishona. There is no other reason why God created the world in the first place. He didn't need this. Ein kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim, says the Ramban. What do you think? God needed our talis and tefillin and our lulav and esrog and our Hanukkah candles? He doesn't need this. You think God needs us to do whatever we're doing in this world? He's not interested. He could have done without it. All God wants is milvad sheyeda ha'adam v'yoda le'elokav shebaro. The only reason why he created us is that we should spend a lifetime trying to seek out his presence. And yoda le'elokav shebaro, once we find and recognize what presence he has, we go ahead and express to him how thankful we are for everything that he gives us the opportunity to do in our lives. That is what the Ramban explains is kavanas kol ha-mitzvos. This is the purpose, if you have to say, the focal point of everything that we do is only about that, And this is perhaps the understanding of the Medrash that we said, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikra Reishis. The Bikurim is so fundamental, it's not just a mitzvah like any other, it's something that reminds us of the importance of Hakaras HaTov and showing how grateful we need to be to others. We know that the Pasuk says in the Birchas Yaakov, the end of Parshas Vayechi, the end of Sefer Bereishis, beginning of Parshas Vayechi, we're told, Yehuda ato yoducha achecha. So what does it mean? Your brothers will thank you, your brothers will recognize you. What does it mean? Yoducha. How do you translate that word? So there are many interpretations, but the Targum Yonasan writes on that Pasuk that, in truth, it should be that each family goes down in history as the Reuvenim, or the Shimonim. If I'm from Shevet Reuven, I should be Reuvenim, or Shimonim, or Leviim, whatever it might be. But yet, the Jewish people as a whole are called Yehudim. So that says the Targum Yonasan of Ben Uziel, this is why Ata Yoducha Achecha, all the Jewish people will refer to themselves by your Shevet, even though they're not all descendants of yours. We're all going to go down in history for all posterity as the Yehudim, the ones who emanate from Yehuda. And why is that? Some of Farshim explain because Yehuda's whole essence, Yehuda's whole name was Hapam Odes Hashem. That's the essence of a Jew. What a Jew is all about is recognizing Shenamin Lelukenu Shebaranu, that we believe that the Ribbono Shalom created us, and V'yodo Kav Shebaro, and we thank him for creating us, and we thank others as well for all that they do for us in life. Now, Hakaras HaTov is not just a nice, fluffy idea that the Midrashim talk about. This is something that is raised, and this is what we say every Shabbos in our davening when we recite Nishmas. We say, Shekein Chovas Kalei Yitzurim. This is the obligation, not just this is the nice thing that nice people do. This is the obligation that every human being has. Lifanecha, in front of you, God, Lahodos, Lahala, Lefar, Leromim, Lahadr, Levarach, Leali, Lokalis. This is our job. This is our duty. It's not just a medrash. It's not just a nice story. This is what we're absolutely obligated to do. This is the Chovas Kal HaYitzurim. Now you'll say, we really owe all the debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. We really owe everything to him. So Rav Soloveitchik had a beautiful insight where he pointed to the following. He said, the Gemara has a discussion about how exactly one should end off the Nishmas. What exactly one should say when praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you say, HaMuhulol B'Rov HaTishbachos? Do you say, we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for most of the praises that we owe him in our lives, Rov HaTishbachos? Or do you say, no, Kel HaHodaos, you are the God who deserves all of our gratefulness, all of our gratitude. So how do you end it off? So the Gemara says, well, they sound like both nice versions, so therefore we may as well say both of them. Therefore we say, HaMuhulol B'Rov HaTishbachos and Nishmas, and then we say, Kel HaHodaos, Adon HaNiflaos as well. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what kind of havamin is that? Why should you say, HaMuhulol B'Rov HaTishbachos? You only owe God some of your gratitude in life, but the rest of it I'm not going to thank him for because I'm not so happy with the way he did it, with the way my life turned out. So what exactly does the Gemara mean when it gives us this terminology of HaMuhulol B'Rov HaTishbachos? So again, the simple understanding is, you are the one who is praised with many, many accolades, Rov HaTishbachos, but Rav Soloveitchik was wondering what it means, B'Rov HaTishbachos, in a different sense. So he suggested the following. He says, the Chavos HaLevavos writes that when you talk about Hakaras HaTov, this is such a fundamental aspect of our religion. Why is it so fundamental? Why is it so important to have Hakaras HaTov? So the Chavos HaLevavos describes when you go to a restaurant. So he quotes the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara says, Chamer Lamar V'Tivusa L'Shakya. Who's the one who you say thank you to? You say thank you to the waiter. Why are you saying thank you to the waiter? He's being paid to do the job. So why are you tipping the waiter? Why are you so gracious to him? This is what he's paid to do. Does my employer thank me every time I come into the office? No, that's what you're expected to do. So why do I thank the waiter? Why do you thank the person that, you know, if you go to New Jersey and you fill up on gas in Jersey and someone else has to help you, you give him a tip, you thank him. Why are you thanking the person? That's what he's paid to do, to sit out in the cold and to do the job, and they pay him extra during the winter. So what's the big thank you for? So the Chavos HaLevavos explains, based on the Gemara Baba Kama, that Chamer Lamara B'Tivusa L'Shakya, although it's true that the waiter, when you're invited to someone's fancy meal, the waiter didn't pay for the wine. He didn't provide you with the wine. He just brought the wine from the wealthy person who invited you to their home and enjoy this wine. But still, we say thank you to the individual that's servicing us as well, even though he's not the one responsible for providing it. Because, says the Chavos HaLevavos, if you're not going to accustom yourself to thank those around you, even though they might not be so deserving of the thanks, even though you are being paid, and even though this is your job to show up at the gas station, it is your job to go ahead and be at the dry cleaning service, but yet, we thank you anyway, because if we don't get ourselves in the mood of saying thank you to those who we interact with, in the end we're going to forget about thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And this is really what the Gemara says. My father always points out that the Gemara says, Vayaka Melech Chadash Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. that a Melech Chadash comes to Mitzrayim, totally disregards the fact that Yosef is the one who saved the whole country, totally forgets about the fact that the Jews were the reason for all the prosperity in Mitzrayim, for all their success, and yet, this happens when the Paro Melech Mitzrayim comes into new power. He forgets about all of that. And Chazal say from here, called Hakofer B'Tavaso Shel Chaveiro, someone who is not going to recognize the gratitude that they owe to other individuals, L'sof Kofer B'Tavaso Shel Makom. In the end, they are going to deny the existence and the gratefulness they need to have to God Himself. As we know, the Pasuk says, it first starts with forgetting Yosef, and then later on, when in our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, he says, Lo Yadati Es Hashem, I don't know who this is. How do you come to an understanding? How do you come to that level where you deny the existence of God? How do you not recognize His presence? The answer is you start by not recognizing those around you who do services for you, who provide you with things that you need. Once it starts with that, it leads to La Yadati Es Hashem, you'll forget about God as well. This is what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah as well, that in some way Adam HaRishon was a Kafei Tov. It says that Adam HaRishon didn't recognize, he didn't thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving him a wife. The greatest blessing someone can have is to have a happy marriage. Ha'isha asher nasati imadi, he points fingers at God, he says, what are you giving me this woman? And he's so ungrateful for the great chesed, for the great kindness. And then later on it says, by the Dar HaHafluga, that they fail to recognize the presence of God. Hava nivna lanu migdol, v'rosho nagia shamayim, we're going to go and fight with God Himself. And there, by the Dar HaFlaga, they are called Bnei HaAdam. What do you mean? Why do we call them human beings? Of course it was human beings who built this tower. Who else do you think built it? No, so the Medrash says the reason why they're called Bnei HaAdam is because they were descendants of Adam HaRishon. The good old problem of Adam HaRishon was that he failed to recognize the kindness of God for giving him the wife Chava. And later on in history, his descendants learned the same thing. The Dar HaFlaga denied once again the existence of a person is not going to be Makar Tov for the things around them. They also will come in the end to be a Kafei Tov for what the Ribbono Shel Olam himself gives you as well. And that's why, said Rav Soloveitchik, we say, Hamhulal Berov HaTishbachos. It's true. We owe everything in our life to God Himself. He's the one who provides us with all the services, with all that we have, with all the wonderful pleasures that we enjoy in this world, but yet we reserve some of that praise. We don't give it all to Him because we say we have to leave something over for human beings that we interact with as well. And that's a fundamental principle in how one is supposed to properly be Makar Tov, because if you're not going to recognize those around you, in the end you will come to deny that thanks that you owe to God Himself. And this is why Rav Soloveitchik said we utter both of these phrases. We say, Kel Ha'odos, yes, you are the absolute one that we need to thank, but at the same time, you are just the Rov HaTishbachos. The Hakar Satov goes so far, we'll make one more point before Mincha, and that is when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish people, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is negotiating with him. He wants him to go down to Mitzrayim. He wants him to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So it says, Vayelech Moshe Vayashev El Yeser Chosno. Moshe Rabbeinu returns to his father-in-law. What are you returning to your father-in-law? I just asked you to go to Mitzrayim to negotiate with power. Go save the Jewish people. I have a job for you to do. What are you going to your father-in-law in Midian? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'shasha Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When God instructs him, I want you to go down to Paro. Amar Lo, he says, Ribon HaOlam, and God, hang on a minute, 1 minute. Eini Yachal, I'm not able to go do the job. Why not? Moshe Rabbeinu says, M'pnei Shekibalni Yisro, because after all, Yisro invited me into his house. Yisro took care of me. Yisro treated me like a son, the Medrash says. Napsho Chayav Lo, and he says, anybody who's a favor for somebody else of that proportion, of that measure, Napsho Chayav Lo, my whole life is indebted to him. How can I just run away now? Even though you have a job for me to save the Jews and negotiate with Paro, doesn't matter. All of that is going to be on hold because I have an obligation to Yisro. And God allows him to do that. Therefore he says, Eini holech ele b'rishuso. I cannot leave the house of my father-in-law Yisro unless I get permission. Unless I tell him what's happening. Unless I tell him God asked me to go do a job. But if I don't have the permission of my father-in-law, I'm not going to be able to go, which is amazing that Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to stand up to God Himself, to stand up and not perform the mission that he was asked to do and not do everything that he was expected to do, because Moshe Rabbeinu says, I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to my father-in-law Yisro. From here you see how far the Hakaras HaTov goes. Moshe Rabbeinu, not only in the beginning of our parsha, is reluctant to do those makos that have to do with Dam Tzvardei Ankinim, which have to do with the water, with the earth, because he feels a sense of gratitude. But over here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu shows us that he's not willing to go forward with the shlichus, with the tremendous message that he was supposed to do, with all the great leadership that he was supposed to be doing. He refused to do it without first being Makar Tov to his father-in-law, to Yisro, who he felt he owed such a great and tremendous debt of gratitude to.